This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
All right, let's say that you've been successful in your journey to obtain the COVID-19 vaccine. You had not only the first Fauci-Achi, but the second shot as well. Now what? I mean, it's kind of like we are all in a vacuum. We go into a void. It's like, great, I've had my vaccine. But now what can you do? Well, I've got a few answers from a few experts for you this morning. And we all know, as with everything COVID-19 related, well, the story is subject to change as we learn more about this novel coronavirus. But I thought it was some good tips to pass along, because it's kind of like, hey, I've got the vaccine. Now what? Can I interact with other people? Can I travel? Do I feel safe getting on a plane? How soon after the vaccine can I actually start to interact? And do I still need to interact from a safe social distance? And even though I've gotten the vaccine, can I still get COVID-19? So many questions, so few answers. Well, I've got a few of them. 709 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com. Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Pulled this rather lengthy piece from a travel and leisure magazine by Michelle Baran. The magazine is called Afar. And the headline actually caught my attention. Can I travel once I'm vaccinated? And I'm like, that is a very good question. And beyond that, what exactly can we do without putting our health and potentially others, even despite getting the vaccine, at risk? Well, Ms. Baran reached out to Dr. Manisha Juthani. Dr. Juthani is an associate professor of medicine and epidemiology at the Yale School of Medicine, also an infectious disease specialist at Yale Medicine, and also spoke with Kristen Bratton Nelson. Now, Kristen is an assistant professor of epidemiology at Emory University in Atlanta. So starting at the very beginning, of course, a very good place to start. Well, the first question was, what protection do the COVID-19s actually provide to begin with? Well, says Nelson, the vaccines are very effective at preventing severe disease, adding just because you get vaccinated does not necessarily mean that you can't get infected with SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19. But the good news is, it does mean that if you are infected, you're much less likely to be hospitalized, and you're also much less likely to have a lot of the severe outcomes that we worry about with COVID. Dr. Juthani notes that while 1 in 20 people vaccinated by either the Pfizer-BioNTech or Moderna, those Moderna shots being administered, will indeed get COVID, 1 in 20, even after being vaccinated, could still fall victim to COVID-19. The disease will be mild to moderate for those who indeed are vaccinated. Data to date shows that vaccination protects 100%, Dr. Juthani says, from hospitalization and death. Nelson adds that the more recent research has also indicated that being vaccinated is, quote, very likely to reduce the likelihood of transmission if you were to be infected. Just because you are vaccinated does not necessarily mean you can't carry it and spread it to other people, but it does make it that much less likely. All right, so is it safe to travel once you've been vaccinated? Well, infectious disease experts do agree that being vaccinated gives you a very important and effective added layer of protection. But even with that layer of protection, you need to take precautions and, yes, baby steps. For example, for starters, don't be making a reservation days after you get that second shot. You should really give it some time to, well, for lack of a better word, percolate throughout your system. Amira Ross is professor of global health and epidemiology at George Mason University. She says, certainly being vaccinated will give you peace of mind when you travel. But, she cautions, remember that vaccines don't work immediately. You need to give your body about 2 weeks after the final dose for a strong enough immune response to occur. We expect, she says, that about 2 weeks after your second dose, you may have very high protection. Now, she goes on to note that because, well, there's still a lot of community transmission of COVID-19, and because there are new variants circulating that we're still learning more about, those who are vaccinated should remain vigilant by continuing to wear masks and practice social distancing, saying this is especially critical during the time when most people are not yet vaccinated. Some point in the future, hopefully a large enough proportion of our population will be vaccinated, and then we'll be able to start to return to some semblance of life, at least, as it was pre-pandemic. Now, Nelson, for her part, says she sees travel unfolding in a couple of different phases as the vaccine rollout continues. During phase one, as a percentage of the population starts to get vaccinated, people may choose to take trips that are, well, important to them. Travel they feel that they really need to do. Who doesn't need a vacation at this point in time, whether it's to see family or for another pressing personal or professional reason. But once again, once you are vaccinated, it's a risk-reward equation. It doesn't mean that you can go to a party with 100 people, nobody wearing a mask, but it does mean that the risk-benefit sort of changes for a lot of these questions that we have been thinking about over the last year. Well, the balance obviously shifts once you're vaccinated. It's not that you don't take precautions. It's just that you might feel a lot safer, but could that be considered a false sense of security? You might feel safer doing something that maybe 9 months, a year ago, you wouldn't have done. But most experts saying, go ahead, plan that trip. Plan it for late summer. Plan it for fall so that you have something to look forward to. Which begs the question, if you are traveling to see family, and particularly if they are family of a certain age, I might say, those who might have immunocompromised systems, they might be suffering from underlying disease that, makes them a little bit more vulnerable to the ravages of COVID-19. Well, what precautions should you take if some are not vaccinated? We're going to get into that in just a few. 716, now 1310, KFKA.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. UNC Bears basketball can be heard on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Working through a litany of questions this morning, a cornucopia of questions as the case may be. If you have been vaccinated for COVID-19, does that mean, woohoo, it's back to life as normal? Not so fast, big shooter. 723 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com. Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail, via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. But if you have been vaccinated, haven't you said, well, like, now what? I mean, okay, great. It's like there's no training wheels here. It's kind of reminiscent, and this might be a stretch in terms of an analogy, but I remember one Christmas when I was just a little whippersnapper. I was in bed at the time, but my dad was trying to put together a bicycle for me, and he had the instructions. Unfortunately, the instructions were in German, and my dad, not fluent, not conversant. Okay, he didn't know German from a screwdriver, okay? So it was a bit of a challenge for him. But, yeah, there's no instruction guide that is readily available as to when you can resume some semblance of life and living as it was pre-pandemic after you are vaccinated. So I thought, these are all good questions. What about the safety precautions that you still need to take? One thing what we do know is that 1 in 20 of us could still be infected with a mutation, with a variant of COVID-19, even after we get the second dose of the vaccine. Not being said to put fear in your heart, but this is what the most recent science, not voodoo science, I might add, has to say about the entire equation. But we left it before the break asking that question. If you travel to see family, particular older family members, what precautions should you take if some of those family members aren't vaccinating? Well, you know the answer to that. Masking, distancing at gatherings, still the best way to protect those who are not vaccinated or older adults who may be particularly vulnerable to the transmission of COVID-19. Given that gatherings have indeed been limited, it's good that we're even thinking about gathering once again. But once again, it's important that those precautions when it comes to masking and social distancing, particularly if you're going to visit older family members who have not yet been vaccinated, remain in place. All right, so here's the one that kind of sends shivers down my spine. Well, we need a vaccine passport to travel internationally. Well, it was in that January 21st executive order. This was the executive order on promoting COVID-19 safety in domestic and international travel. You had President Joe Biden directing government agencies to assess the feasibility of developing an international digital vaccine certificate to which COVID-19 vaccine status could be linked. So, of course, you have numerous companies scampering to get on board. They've already begun developing and executing technology for such a digital COVID passport. This includes Common Pass, the IBM Digital Health Pass, and the International Air Transport Association's IATA Travel Pass. But what is less clear is how and whether governments will use digital vaccine passports, seeing as though they haven't even established clear policies on entry requirements for vaccinated travelers. Oh, and then there's this little hitch in the giddy up, this courtesy of the World Travel and Tourism Council. They recently warned that relying on the vaccines as a passport for entry simply excludes too many travelers. You have to remember there are folks that even our epidemiologist in chief, Dr. Anthony Fauci, has recommended that it's a non-starter to get the vaccine because of their underlying health conditions. Obviously, that's why the World Travel and Tourism Council is pushing for more and better testing protocols. President of the World Travel and Tourism Council said the common sense approach is to allow the free movement of people who can prove a negative COVID-19 test result. And if you've been traveling recently, some of you haven't stopped traveling whatsoever. Good for you. And hopefully it's been a good outcome for you as well. Obviously, if you're still traveling, then everything is going pretty darn well because you can go to countless destinations throughout the U.S. You can even go to the Caribbean, Mexico, and to countries where all you need to gain entry is a certificate saying that you tested negative for COVID-19. But what happens if you are, as many of you are, a fan of cruises? It gets kind of interesting here. Whether it's discriminatory or not, some cruise lines have already decided to make vaccines a requirement for passengers to board. You got to remember, when we first saw the outbreak of COVID-19, cruise ships hit particularly hard. So you've got the luxury line, Crystal Cruises. You've got U.S. riverboat operator, American Queen Steamboat Company, its sister line, Victory Cruise Lines. Victory Cruise Lines apparently sails the Great Lakes and in Alaska and Mexico. Yeah, they're going to make proof of a COVID-19 vaccine mandatory. Now, cruising, of course, largely on hold since last March, when those major COVID-19 outbreaks on cruise ships pretty much defined the beginnings of the pandemic. And perhaps it's no surprise that you have many of these cruise lines, obviously as a direct result, playing it extremely cautiously. Oh, and if you're vaccinated, will you still have to get tested for COVID when you travel? In a nutshell, for the time being, the answer to that question is yes. 7:30 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com. So what is the Fed saying about the economy and interest rates, and how is the market reacting? Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management, weighs in just a few.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
So, what's the Fed saying about the economy and interest rates and, all things relative? And, what's the market doing about it? Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management, in now. Hey, Keith.
This was yesterday, and we had told you that this was coming, and it did. It was yesterday. And the Fed chairman... This was a regular semi-annual testimony before the Senate Banking Committee.
And Fed riveting.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, but when it's with regard to the economy, economic growth and interest rates, what the Fed has to say now is riveting for a lot of investors. So that's a valid point. The Fed chairman, Jay Powell, said inflation is still soft. Now, what is that? What do you mean? What are you saying there?
Echoing his predecessor, Janet Yellen.
He's saying it's not a threat.
Right.
It's not prompting them to look at raising interest rates. In fact, it's nowhere close.
Wall Street Journal editorial board questioned that in a rather lengthy piece, saying, what, does he think that 2009 firmly in the rear view and we never have to worry about inflation again?
Well, as the Fed continued yesterday, the chairman of the Fed, the economic outlook is still highly uncertain, according to Powell. The economy is a long way from the Fed's employment and inflation goals, and it's likely to take some time for those goals to be achieved. Those comments from the Fed chairman brought tech stocks back. Apple was down 6%. It closed almost even money. Tesla had dropped 13%. It closed down too. Energy and financials were strong. This morning, the Dow Industrial Average is down 7 points at 31,529. The S&P down now 9 points at 3,871. And the NASDAQ, the biggest hit of the three, down a little bit over 0.5%. Is down 91 at 13,373. Yield on the 10-year Treasury touched a one-year high on Monday this morning. It's at 1.42. U.S. crude oil at $62.19 a barrel, up 52 cents. I try to eyeball large buys, especially of stocks that I watch, that I have an interest in. Tesla yesterday had dropped 13%. Well, I look for the largest buy. Yesterday, there was one buy in Tesla of $120 million on a day when the stock was down 13%. Now, what does that trigger? What does that mean to you in the mind of the person buying, spending $130 million on a stock on a day that it's down 13%?
Could be irrational exuberance, but positivity.
It means they think it's going to go higher,
yes.
And this is and it's on sale right now. It's a good time to buy it.
Buy.
There you go. So, you know, in listening to analysts, they're saying the market could be queued up for a correction here, a correction that could last. You wouldn't measure it in months. You might measure it in weeks. Still, they're saying that the big tech stocks should be in almost every portfolio in some way, shape, or form, depending on your individual needs. They're saying that the rally is not over, but there are always corrections, as evidenced by, and that thinking with regard to that is evidenced by that $130 million buy in Tesla stock yesterday. When it was down 13%, it was a big fund, they snapped it up. Why? Because they think it's a good buy at that price.
And just as a reminder, give us the microwave version of a correction.
Correction is a drop of more than 10% in an upward-headed market. Correction is a good thing. It's a good thing because nothing goes straight up.
It's kind of like a governor.
Yes.
Right, then.
You're talking the kind of governor that's not in office. You're talking about the kind of governor that's on a go-kart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. So that's where we're at.
He never met a go-kart governor he couldn't disable.
This is true.
Do things you do at your own peril. Play Monopoly and say, yeah, let's go go-kart racing with Keith. Ah.
You want a go-kart racing tip?
Sure.
Okay. Get behind somebody and on their inside side of a sharp turn. And just as they go into that turn, bump them. If it's a right turn, bump them on the right rear corner.
Oh, it's like NASCAR. It's bumper drafting.
There you go. Only... And then watch them spin out of control and pass them.
And wave.
Yeah.
Yes. Do the elbow, wrist, wave, and smile. Keith Weinman, Renaissance man.
Thing of the past.
Yes. No,
No. They're running go-karts on cruise ships.
Yes, they are.
That's kind of funky. You know, I guess
ships when they finally get back up and running.
Yeah, I guess they have to do anything they can.
Right. You'd love it. You're not a big cruiser, are you?
No.
No. Well, that might be reason to, you know, jump on board.
But the go-karts would be a plus.
Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
It'd be a draw.
Yeah. Be careful doing that to people you don't know because they'll think you're mean if you're ever on the go-kart track.
Robin's racing.
Yeah.
All right, Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management. On to more serious things. Hey, maybe riding a go-kart on a cruise ship is on your bucket list. I'm not judging here. Seriously. I mean, that might be one of the things that you want to check off that list. That means you need to have a plan in place. Oh, no. You just can't start planning like a month out. No, that doesn't work. You need to get that retirement plan up and running. The sooner the better. And that's why you need to get in touch with Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management, not only for go-kart tips, but also to get that plan put to work for you. All we have to do is pick up the phone, give you a call.
Yeah, you can reach me at our Loveland office. We're near 34 and I-25, and I am at 970-776-7500.
Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management. Thanks so much.
Yep,
741 now, 1310 KFKA. 1310 KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice. Hey, some new life for the beleaguered Fort Collins Foothills Mall. We've got the details coming your way in just a few.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. But with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
A new lease on life for the troubled Fort Collins Foothills Mall. 750 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com. Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Pulled a rather lengthy piece, a well-done piece, I might add, out of the Fort Collins Coloradoan by Pat Ferrier. This, as McWinney Real Estate of Loveland has signed an agreement to buy the financially troubled Foothills Mall in Midtown of Fort Collins. This is according to documents that were filed in Larimer County District Court. And when they say financially troubled, well, let's run through the numbers. In 2018, Foothills collected less than $4 million in sales tax revenue on $99.1 million in taxable sales. In 2019, well, the downward trend continued. It collected $3.87 million, and through November of 2020, it had collected $2.6 million. Now, apparently, no sales price was disclosed. The court still needs to sign off on the purchase. McWinney is now going through its so-called due diligence period to understand all of the facts and the circumstances that may affect the value of the property. Could take months for McWinney to finish its due diligence and close the deal. This according to McWinney President Ray Pittman, but it is reasonable to expect the sale could go through in the last half of 2021. Unclear as well whether the agreement forestalls the April 21st foreclosure sale scheduled after the mall property was put into receivership when its owners failed to make an October 9th debt payment. Pittman said McWinney's legal team is working with the receiver's legal team to hash out all those details. So what's the Foothills Mall in Fort Collins going to look like? Well, still early in the process, but McWinney President Pittman says plans for the property would likely focus on a concept called placemaking. This would involve retail, restaurants, and multifamily housing to build on the success McWinney has found with Cycle. This is the 400-plus apartments McWinney built adjacent to Foothills. Foothills, said Pittman, is not quite the place people want to be in 2021 and going forward, adding, I think the Foothills Mall, well, it got a little bit tired and it struggled. Pittman went on to say the company would probably look at some kind of redensification strategy that could involve raising some existing structures or increasing parking capacity in some areas and building multifamily housing on existing parking spots. Went on to say some element of retail is absolutely still viable, but McWinney will spend the next few months looking at what's feasible, what's possible, what the community and the neighborhood want, and understanding local demand. Retail, he said, is under pressure everywhere. It doesn't scare us off to know the mall has struggled. There's work that can be done that can help revitalize the project and the neighborhood. Now, this sale will bring Foothills under the ownership of a local company with intimate knowledge of the Fort Collins market and some pretty deep connections to major retailers. Consider, McWinney developed Centerra, the Promenade Shops at Centerra, and countless retail, hotel and housing projects in Loveland, Fort Collins, and Denver. It also revitalized Union Station in Denver. Who knew? Revitalizing Foothills feels like a hometown project for us, said Pittman. The company plans to build on Foothills' name recognition and location and focus on local, unique, and authentic experiential retail. We want to create an experience you can't get anywhere else. That's key for us, he said. Placemaking. It's more of an art than it is a science. Now, the purchase and sale agreement, certainly good news for the city of Fort Collins, but McWinney still has a lot of work to do during its due diligence phase. This, according to Economic Health Director Josh Burks, he said, I don't want to get overly excited, cautioning that deals like this can indeed take months to finalize. Could be a while before we actually know if they plan to go forward. Burks went on to say that McWinney has demonstrated commitment to Northern Colorado and would be a good partner to work with. They have a strong interest in working on the project, he said, and making some things happen. Fort Collins City Manager Darren Atterbury said he anticipates engaging more directly with the McWinney team to support it during its due diligence phase. He said, we're excited to hear that the sale of the Foothills property is moving forward and that a well-known and proven Northern Colorado partner will likely be the future owner. Atterbury went on to say, our hope for the property remains unchanged, that it will become a community gathering place in Midtown and continue to catalyze the redevelopment and reinvestment in the corridor. So, well, let's just say cautiously optimistic. Some good news as McWinney Real Estate of Loveland has signed that agreement to buy the Foothills Mall in Midtown Fort Collins. Closing in on 757 now, 1310 KFKA.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Got a busy hour ahead, so hope that you can stay with us this morning. We're going to check in with Katie Schmidtman. Katie is Media and Communications Specialist with North Range Behavioral Health and has some exciting news when it comes to their efforts to help us all cope throughout a time of COVID-19, all of the changes, all of the stress, all of the anxiety. Whether you're a child at heart, an adult, or indeed a child, we've all had our unique challenges. But Katie's going to talk a little bit about their Weld Wellness series on Facebook Live, courtesy of North Range Behavioral Health, when she joins us at 8:05. KFKA Greeley, closing in on 8 o'clock.